You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Linda Royer from Farm and Ranch Design. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Glad to be with you.
So our topic today is super fun. We're going to be talking about building a safe barn for your horses or renovating your barn to make it safe and efficient for you. So let's just start off by talking about where the barn owner might want to start when they're planning a renovation or building on a tighter budget.
Well, I think it's always fun to dream big, but reality sets in when we have to pay for it. So I thoroughly endorse, you know, collecting ideas and dreams and things like that. But then we have to prioritize, usually based on cost and, you know, the logical things that come first. So one of the things that I find advantageous is if you can have a friend or spouse to bounce ideas off of and, you know, get input from others who have gone through the experience to, you know, help you understand, you know, what you have to work with and how to achieve your goals. And I think the first and foremost goal for everyone is health and safety and well-being of their horses. And there's lots of items that go into that, but having an extra set of eyes look at an existing facility for safety aspects is very helpful. You know, one of the things that I always start with is making your horse area secure. And that includes hopefully doing a automatic gate at the front entry so the horses can never get off the property. I always advocate in doing your best fencing on the perimeter so that the horses are secure. And then, and that may be woven wire on wood posts or something like that with an electric gate at the front. We just installed an electric gate on my own property, and it's so interesting contacting different people and getting bids. And so to do a solar-powered gate on our property, we got bids originally from $4,000 to $12,000. And then we found our fencing contractor who was able to do it for about $3,100. So we did go with him and we're very pleased. And I'm happy to get that aspect done. I don't want my horses or anyone else's getting out on the road. So that's kind of one of the first and foremost safety factors. And then I think probably, you know, one of the other really important safety factors is looking at the electrical. And I think it's very wise to have an electrician come do an inspection. You can also frequently have the fire department come do an inspection to see that they can safely access your property, that they know about your property, that they can plan ahead where they would get water to fight a fire. But I'm really big on electrical safety because I frequently follow the cause of barn fires across the country. And electrical is the number one cause of barn fires. And oftentimes electrical things are hidden. So we don't know, you know, where the weaknesses are. So there's a place that I would sure spend some money to get professional expertise for insight. It's really good to know if you're buying an existing property, if the barn was a permitted structure and if it was inspected by the county, because they will inspect for electrical safety, that it meets code. And if you're building, it seems like, you know, an unnecessary step, but it gives you the assurance that you're meeting code and the code is there for a reason. So I'm a big advocate for that.
Absolutely. And you talked a little bit about how people like to dream big, which, I mean, who doesn't love to spend money on their horse? I'm completely guilty of that. but what are some of the areas where you see people commonly overspending during a barn project? And do you think it's worth investing this extra money in these areas? Or should we be just mindful of it and cutting back?
Well, you know, with each aspect of you know, the elements that go into a barn, there's a big range of costs. For stall fronts, for example, the pre-manufactured stall fronts can range from $2,000 to $10,000 for a stall front. And like cars, there's a big difference in cost, and they all look good on the showroom. But the more expensive ones typically are better made with stronger materials and more durable finishes. So it's a place that, you know, it's nice to spend the money on if you've got it. But there's other ways to do stall fronts. In my very first barn, I did pipe rail stall fronts that you typically see for you know, outside type stalls, and they were $100, and they worked well, perfectly well for years, and they were safe for the horses. And there's many, many horses across the country that are kept in pipe rail corrals and stalls. And I never had a problem with those. And it was a way that I could save money at the time. I got up the shell and did those and then did 2x6 for the stall partitions. And I had a dirt floor in my first barn. It was what I had to do with the money that I had. Aisles are another area that there's a big range of costs. And, you know, there's things that I'm fans of and not so much fans of. And you have to look at, you know, the safety of the horse and the ability to clean. Rubber pavers are wonderful for safety, but there are more of a challenge for cleaning. Concrete can be made relatively safe if it has a deep broom finish to it. And there's things you can do to concrete to make it more attractive. In one of the big projects, we had wanted to do brick pavers for the aisle, but because of budget, we instead did concrete, but we did the heavy broom finish, but we colored the concrete, which was not a big expense. I have found in a lot of my facilities, people that did high-end barns have come to me and said, you know, even if we didn't have all these nice materials and finishes, we would still love our barn because it functions. It's easy to work in, it's safe, it's easy for the horses to move around, it's easy to clean. So getting the functional flow and spaces down first, and then you can adjust the finishes according to your budget.
If a listener who's on a budget can only tackle, let's say, one major upgrade in a year, which improvement would you say would make the biggest impact on either horse or human safety in the barn?
I would say light and ventilation is number one in my book. You know, I see a lot of existing barns that have really poor ventilation. First thing I would do is put in gable end vents and cupolas. You want to chimney that warm, moist air out through all the seasons. And good ventilation is critical to horses. So that's number one. Probably the second thing I'm a big advocate for is having Dutch doors on the stalls so that you can have cross ventilation and good ventilation to have airflow coming in. But also it's a really big safety issue, especially again, getting back to barn fires. If you can get horses out through the Dutch doors rather than going into aisle, you're going to be able to get them out quickly and safely for yourself. So those are probably two of the big things, light ventilation and putting in Dutch doors for safety.
Yeah, ventilation is something we talked about it in our very first episode of this podcast, and it stuck with me because that episode really made me realize how important ventilation is for horse health. Now I'm a little crazy when I walk around the barn thinking about it, but it's a good thing to think about. So what low-cost design or material choices can make a big difference in preventing injuries or improving airflow with ventilation and lighting?
Well, one of the materials, I've been designing barns for 31 years, and I've had it. I'm always looking for new materials that work well in barns. One of my favorites is the HDPE materials. They're a little more expensive than wood, but they last, they resist chewing, and they scrub up beautifully. And I've used them in many barns. They are more expensive, but you have to look at how things are going to last over time. I found the same thing with light fixtures. You can buy inexpensive light fixtures and you end up having problems very quickly in them. The same thing with horse waterers. You know, I'm willing to spend the money for a good quality, heavy duty water as opposed to the inexpensive little bowls that are forever breaking. Those are, you know, some of the materials. I like using twin wall plastics that, you know, can bring light in while still closing them off. I use those a lot in clear story areas and walls that the horses don't have access to. So they make for a nice wall and let in a lot of light and ventilation. I use those oftentimes on the gable ends of barns because it brings in a whole lot of light. And it's not that much more expensive than the siding. So those are some of the materials that are some of my favorites. One thing that I absolutely love in my barns and is not that expensive is overhead infrared heaters in the wash and groom area. I use CalGlow heaters, which are designed for agricultural use, and two of those over a grooming stall makes both the horse and you more comfortable in the winter months when you pull off that winter blanket and need to be grooming and saddling when it's 30 degrees out. You're going to be a lot happier, and the horse is going to be a lot happier having those overhead infrared heaters. And that's one of the products I use that I really love and advocate for.
How can owners evaluate whether it's smarter to repair, retrofit, or rebuild parts of their barn? I know this is something that I'm actually debating, so I'm excited to hear your answer.
So, the first thing is the structural safety. If I think, you know, if you have any doubts at all, I would get a professional structural inspection. If it's a post frame or pole barn, you've got buried posts that may or may not have been properly treated, and over time, they still will rot away. So, you need to look at the structural framework and make sure that it is solid and worthy of doing any remodel to. Or is it easier to just tear down and start with a new structure that you are assured is safe? And then I think it would be You know, look at the spaces that you have. How can you make them flow better? Do you have adequate space within the structure itself? Are the posts going to be in the way of making, you know, a comfortable space and practical space for you and the horses? For example, I've seen barns that have 10 by 10 stalls because of the structural system. And, you know, unless you're raising ponies and have Dutch doors and runs and things like that, I would not be comfortable at all putting a horse in a 10 by 10 stall. So, you know, in that case, I would probably tear down and start over again. One of the tough things to deal with is if the aisle is too narrow for safety. You know, we always go with a 12-foot aisle minimum, some barns 14, some even 16. But there's a reason for that in handling big, strong horse, and also the ease of getting equipment in and out of the barn. So I like to keep the aisles clear of anything except a halter on the stall front. In many barns, I've done horse blanket closets to keep the horse blankets, you know, more dust free and close to the horses, but tucked away. So keeping the aisles clear and having the room to keep the aisles clear, I think, is a safety and aesthetic and functional requirement for a barn. So that I would make that one of my objectives. And then, you know, having tools that are handy. You know, the bigger the barn, the more you want to save labor. So having, you know, one of the things I try to design in new facilities is having the shavings stored next to where you dump the manure. And, you know, dumping the manure may be into a manure spreader. It may be into a dumpster. It may be into a pit that you empty. I have a O2 compost system at my own barn, which I'm a big fan of because it makes a positive product out of something that costs a lot of horse owners money to haul away. So manure management is very, very important. But if you can dump the manure and get fresh shavings in the same trip, you're saving labor. So I like to store the shavings next to where I dump the manure. I also, talking about back to safety, I like to do a separate hay storage building whenever possible, just because you need to have big doors for easy access of hay. And I built a separate hay barn for my own facility because of fire safety. I don't like to store hay overhead in a barn because it's work to get it up there. It's work to get it down there. It cuts down on air ventilation and it adds to dust in the barn, as well as being a fire safety hazard. The only time I'm really comfortable doing that is if I have a fire sprinkler system in the barn. And there are cases where we have done that. Usually where we have limited space available to do a separate hay barn. So those are some things that over time I really advocate for.
What are some creative ways that we could reuse or repurpose existing materials around the farm safely without cutting corners that could either make the building unsafe or just make it deteriorate more quickly?
Well, you know, I've seen some wonderful ideas where they take used barn wood and do it along aisles for a lovely, you know, kind of rustic finish. And that's really nice. You know, I'm hesitant to use, you know, like metal siding. I do use it on the exterior of some barns. And, You know, one thing about wood is that on the exterior of a barn, it's always going to require maintenance. And you want to keep it away from the places that horses chew on it. I've seen some wonderful creative things where chewed fences and barn boards are repurposed for interior finishes to get, again, give that kind of rustic look. And it's creative and fun. But, you know, for the horse enclosures and stalls and, you know, I still want good quality wood as long as it's safe and doesn't have any rough edges or nails or screws that are going to, you know, potentially injure a horse, it can be reused.
Can you tell us how a good layout in the barn and traffic flow design can enhance safety and efficiency in the barn? I know this is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. I think we've all been in the barn during a busy time and it's just impossible to get anything done because there's so much going on. So can we help that at all with layout?
Well, I think one of the things is to have separate grooming stalls as opposed to grooming in the aisle. Some people will in larger boarding barns, they groom in the stalls, but I would try to have spaces so you don't have to cross tie in the aisles. I think that's one of the best things. And then having the tack room close to the grooming areas. I like to use a rollout cart that I can have my grooming equipment, saddle and bridle on. I load it up in the tack room and roll it out to the grooming stall or the wash stall so that you're not accumulating things in the aisle. So everything has its place, and people that use the barn know the routine of putting things back in their place. I think that's the most important thing.
Definitely. I think we've all been in that situation where you're trying to get some barn work done or you're trying to get your own ride in and you have to dodge multiple horses on the cross ties in the aisle. To me, it's one of the more annoying things, but I do understand why people do it. So I think if you can get around having to do that, it's always helpful.
And it's also helpful to have a tie rail outside with a hose bib with hot water that when you're after a ride, you can tie your horse up, put the saddle and bridle back on the rollaway cart and hose down your horse outside. So again, you're not taking up aisle space or the grooming space, but can also work outside.
Absolutely. I know here in the Northeast area, I always enjoy taking my horse outside to groom if I can. It's just so much nicer during the good weather seasons.
Yeah, in California projects, I oftentimes do outside groom areas that may have a shade cover over it, but it's outside where it's really comfortable.
Definitely. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Haley.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.